Clay Travis on the phone with us now. We've got about 5 minutes with you, Clay, 5 or 6 minutes. I wanted to ask you right off the bat. I'm excited about the NFL draft, that they're going to go through with this, but we were just talking about potential headaches for the GMs or the people making the call. What do you see being the biggest problem in all of this virtual drafting from different locations?
I don't think it'll be a big problem in the first and second round. I do think that as you move into the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, having good information probably is where you lack it more so about those guys further down in the draft board. But let's not kid ourselves. I mean, this is like a coin flip anyway. And most of the time, I think guys probably have too much information as opposed to not enough. I think the tech side of this could be really funny. I would love to see Bill Belichick if his Wi-Fi wasn't working on the draft day. Like, you know, sometimes happens when you're doing a fantasy football draft. If all of a sudden, you know, like the Wi-Fi goes out and you end up drafting a kicker, you know, way before you wanted to or something. I think almost everybody has had one of those panic situations in a fantasy football draft. So I think that's the funnier aspect of this than anything else. But I think from a practical purposes, I don't think it's going to be that much different. And I also believe that by April, whatever, 23rd, so we're talking about 17 days from now, I think things are going to look so much better 17 days from now in this country that there are going to be a lot of people chomping at the bit for the official restrictions, particularly in places like where you guys are in Alabama and where I am in Tennessee, where there really haven't been that substantial outbreaks to begin with.
You know, I don't know about you, Clay. Major League Baseball, not as important for me as it used to be as a kid. I still like watching my Dodgers, just not as much as I used to. But I thought it was great news coming out in Major League Baseball saying, hey, look, we want to get this thing going as early as May and have it at one location or at least in the vicinity of one centralized location in Phoenix and then multiple ballparks. But I think this is a step in the right direction. And, I mean, just to have this big of a plan, at least moving in the right direction, I like how proactive Major League Baseball has been.
Yeah, look, Dana White with his Fight Island is great. The NHL talking about North Dakota, the NBA, as we think we've talked about before, discussing Vegas. It's going to happen really quick. As quick as the league shut down, I think you already saw in the last 24 hours, basically, so many different leagues leaking, because make no mistake, that's what they're doing. They're leaking this information to kind of use it as a trial balloon to see how the public responds. And I think the way we're headed is that that maybe Major League Baseball, you know, they do the spring training-ish restart again. Maybe they play for June in Phoenix. I think by July 4th, which could be a really big event, obviously, with all the different sports that are likely to be going on, I think it's likely by July 4th, many of our sports are back up and running in their home markets. I really believe that. And I think the question will be, when do we reintroduce fans? And we'll see how exactly things go. But I've been, I think, on your show and everywhere else, I believe the college football is going to happen. I think the NFL is going to happen. I haven't been one of the doom and gloomers out there. I've been pretty optimistic based on the data that is public and look, I mean, 2 years ago, 80,000 people died of the flu in this country. And a ton of people are like, wow, really? I didn't know that. Right now, listen, yes, that's true. That's according to the CDC. I think that we are likely to end up with 40,000 or less people around the United States who die of the coronavirus. So the coronavirus is likely to end up being half as deadly as the flu was 2 years ago. I think, you know, we didn't cancel anything for the flu 2 years ago. I think we'll be back up and running soon with sports. I can't wait.
Clay Travis is on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. I join you in your optimism, and it led me today to tell these guys that I think November could give us the greatest week we've ever had in sports. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying maybe MLB does their World Series in November in a condensed schedule, but it still stretches in November. You could start with a Saturday that involved Alabama, LSU, USC, Oregon, go through week 9 of the NFL, 3 games of the World Series, the first round of the Masters, some random college football games, college basketball, and NBA all at the same time. That would be an incredible week.
Oh, yeah. Look, I think the downside of obviously all of the coronavirus mess has been that basically April and a lot of March were wastelands for sports. The positive from a sports perspective is that starting in, you know, when we really hit the sprint, which I believe will be around July 4th, when everything's starting to take off in a really substantial way, basically from July 4th all the way through the Super Bowl, we are going to have a packed event. I mean, you know, think about things like the Kentucky Derby in September. You know, I mean, like the Kentucky Derby on the same day that college football season begins is kind of just an embarrassment of riches, right? We're not going to get it in May like we ordinarily would. But I think all of this is going to be packed in. The Ryder Cup, the U.S. Open in September. I mean, there's going to be a total embarrassment of riches for sports fans to make up for really what we're having right now in March and in April. Is it's kind of like June and July after the NBA and the NHL end, when there's not really very much going on. You guys know that well. Anybody who listens to Sports Talk Radio knows that well. Until you get back into football season, I think the difference now is going to be we're not going to have an off season. You know, once the summer, once around July 4th gets here, it's going to be a mad dash all the way through until February when the Super Bowl happens down in Tampa.
He is Clay Travis. You can follow him at Clay Travis on Twitter. Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio, and Republicans Buy Sneakers Too is his book. Thank you, Clay.
Hey, good debate for you guys. Why do so many people want to buy into doom and gloom?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, it really is fascinating. Yeah. I think Twitter and social media exacerbates it because I don't hear it from callers as much. I think maybe there's a social media component. If you're sitting around on Twitter, you're more likely to want to buy into awfulness. And that means regardless of what it is, right? Like the number of people who it appeared to me were rooting for the coronavirus to create chaos and for sports to not come back and for all this stuff to happen was really kind of crazy to me. And I think it's an interesting look into the psychology of sometimes social media mobs.
Yeah, it's been bothersome to me, quite frankly. I've watched it, and I've had it happen to me, too. I mean, anytime you try to be positive about it, there's a line of people to tell you how dumb your positivity is.
Clay,
I don't get that.
I think people are just miserable. I mean, when Kirk Herbstreit came out and said he didn't think there was going to be a football season, people got upset. And then when Dabo Swinney says he thinks there will be a football season, people get upset.
Yeah, you can't win.
You can't win. You really can't.
No, that's true. But, I mean, what I have always said is the world bends towards optimism, right, whether you like it or not. Somebody, a pessimist might win a day, a week, a month, a year, right? It might happen that bad things happen for a series of time. But if you study world history at all, we bend towards righteousness, right? Like things get better. Positivity wins. Bad news makes news. Good news does not typically make good news, but there's way more good news every day than there is bad news.
Yeah.
And so I don't know why so many people on social media enjoy marinating in awfulness, but I think this has been an interesting study, and I'd be curious what everybody thinks why that is, but certainly good things coming.
Yeah. Thank you, Clay. Take care.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
All right, man. Clay is unfortunately right about that, I think. He was on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline at your favorite retailer now with three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry, only 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free.